This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of foot puncture wounds from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Foot puncture wounds are common workplace injuries which are at high risk for soft tissue infection and development of osteomyelitis. Diagnosis is clinical with inspection of the plantar foot for the puncture site as well as surrounding erythema and drainage. MRI studies are indicated when there is concern for osteomyelitis. Treatment can be observation with antibiotics or surgical debridement depending on the chronicity of the wound, patient comorbidities, and presence of soft tissue infection or osteomyelitis. Now, let's get into the episode. With respect to epidemiology, as far as incidence of foot puncture wounds, these are common injuries in certain workplaces, for example, construction sites. Approximately 10% develop infection, and approximately 1 to 2% develop osteomyelitis. As far as the pathophysiology of foot puncture wounds, the mechanism of injury is usually stepping on a nail or stick through a sock/sole of the foot. As far as the microbiology, the most common cause of soft tissue infection is Staph aureus. The most common cause of osteomyelitis is Pseudomonas. Again, the most common cause of soft tissue infection is Staph aureus, and the most common cause of osteomyelitis is Pseudomonas. As far as the presentation of foot puncture wounds, patients often present weeks to a month after the initial injury. On physical exam, you may see a swollen and tender foot, an obvious wound with or without a tract, well-demarcated erythema, and these patients may present with lymphadenopathy. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and a lateral. Findings on radiographs may be normal early. Bone destruction is typically seen later, and radiographs can be helpful to exclude the presence of a foreign body. An MRI should be obtained prior to operative irrigation and debridement. It can be used to rule out osteomyelitis, which may occur in 1 to 2% of cases. Treatment of foot puncture wounds can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes a tetanus booster and prophylactic antibiotics, which is controversial. Non-operative management is indicated for recent puncture wounds with no evidence of infection, and recent is defined as within hours. Non-operative management should also involve bedside irrigation and debridement if there is an open wound. Keep in mind that there is no standard prophylactic antibiotics for acute injury, but should cover for Pseudomonas. Again, acute injury is defined as within hours. Operative options include surgical debridement, which is indicated for late/delayed presentation with deep infection with or without osteomyelitis. Surgical debridement is also indicated for foreign body removal and if there is no improvement with PO antibiotics. The surgical technique for surgical debridement should involve tract and soft tissue debridement, deep culture, bony curettage if there is osteomyelitis, and packing with a wick to allow for healing by secondary intention. Postoperatively, you should follow these patients with IV antibiotics and make sure you have coverage for Pseudomonas, convert to PO antibiotics once the clinical picture improves, and as far as antibiotic choice, preferred antibiotics include ciprofloxacin or levofloxacin, except in children, and alternative antibiotics include ceftazidime or cefepime. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 55-year-old male without significant medical history presents with worsening pain from a 7-day-old puncture wound located on the plantar aspect of his forefoot. On exam, there is surrounding erythema and purulent drainage. Imaging demonstrates soft tissue edema, no identifiable foreign bodies, and no evidence of osteomyelitis. The organism most likely responsible for this patient's soft tissue infection has which of the following characteristics? And the choices are 1, coagulase negative, non-hemolytic gram-positive cocci, 2, coagulase positive, hemolytic gram-positive cocci, 3, gram-negative rod with a single polar flagellum, 4, gram-negative rod with multiple flagella, and 5, spore-forming gram-positive rod with multiple flagella. The correct answer to this question is 2, coagulase positive, hemolytic, gram-positive cocci. So Staphylococcus aureus, which is a coagulase-positive hemolytic gram-positive cocci, is the most common cause of soft tissue infections following a foot puncture wound. Pseudomonas, which is a gram-negative rod with a single flagellum, is the most common cause of osteomyelitis. To quickly review, foot puncture wounds are relatively common injuries that lead to soft tissue infection in approximately 10% of cases and osteomyelitis in 1 to 2% of cases. Staphylococcus aureus is the most common pathogen to cause soft tissue infection in these injuries, while Pseudomonas is the most common cause of osteomyelitis. Infection may have a delayed presentation, for example, within weeks. Thorough examination and imaging workup are essential to identify evidence of a retained foreign body. MRI should be considered to rule out osteomyelitis. Tetanus booster should be administered to patients with outdated or unknown immune status. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following is true regarding the organism that most commonly causes osteomyelitis in the non-diabetic foot after a puncture wound? And the choices are 1, it does not have a flagellum. 2, it is a spore-forming gram-negative rod. 3, it secretes a pigment in vitro. 4, it ferments lactose. And 5, it produces clear colonies on nutrient agar. The correct answer to this question is 3, it secretes a pigment in vitro. So the most common organism that causes osteomyelitis in the foot after a puncture wound is Pseudomonas aeruginosa. It secretes a pigment in vitro. After a puncture wound, a fluoroquinolone is given to cover for Pseudomonas aeruginosa. It is a gram-negative rod which may be normal flora in some sites of the body. It thrives in moist environments, produces an exotoxin, and forms biofilms. In vitro, it produces a blue-green pigment and has a characteristic grape-like odor. It does not have the ability to ferment lactose. Moving on to the next question. A 28-year-old man reports a 3-month history of foot pain and swelling after stepping on a nail while working at a construction site. He was wearing rubber-soled boots at the time he sustained this deep puncture wound. Initial management consisted of tetanus prophylaxis, superficial wound cleansing, and oral antibiotics. Imaging shows no evidence of bony infection. What is the most appropriate treatment? And the choices are 1, IV antibiotics, 2, reinstitution of oral antibiotics, 3, CT-guided drainage procedure and IV antibiotics, 4, surgical wound exploration with debridement followed by hydrotherapy, and 5, surgical wound exploration with debridement and IV broad-spectrum antibiotics. The correct answer to this question is 5, surgical wound exploration with debridement and IV broad-spectrum antibiotics. So patients wearing rubber-soled shoes while sustaining deep puncture wound injuries to the foot may experience complications such as abscess formation and osteomyelitis. Frequently, there is delayed diagnosis of potential retained foreign bodies. Therefore, appropriate treatment involves wound exploration, debridement with removal of the foreign material, and IV antibiotics. A combination of formal surgery and administration of antibiotics is required for treatment of these deep wound infections. Drainage or antibiotics alone will not suffice. Moving on to the next question. What is the most common organism in osteomyelitis of the foot that results from a puncture wound in a non-diabetic patient? And the choices are 1, Proteus, 2, Clostridia, 3, Pseudomonas, 4, Streptococcus, and 5, Staphylococcus aureus. The correct answer to this question is 3, Pseudomonas. So although Staphylococcus aureus is the most common causative agent for soft tissue infection following puncture wounds of the foot, Pseudomonas is the most common organism found when osteomyelitis occurs. Moving on to the next question. What is the most common pathogen for soft tissue infection of the foot caused by a puncture wound? And the choices are 1, Staphylococcus aureus, 2, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, 3, Eikenella corrodens, 4, Pasteurella multiceta, and 5, Vibrio species. The correct answer to this question is 1. Staphylococcus aureus. So Staphylococcus and Streptococcus species are the most common causes of soft tissue infections in the foot due to punctures. Pseudomonas is the most common cause of osteomyelitis of the foot due to puncture wounds. Pasteurella and Eikenella are seen in animal and human bites, respectively. Vibrio species are found in marine environments. And moving on to the final question, which of the following imaging modalities is most accurate in locating a toothpick in the plantar arch of the foot? And the choices are 1. Radiograph, 2. CT, 3. MRI, 4. Ultrasound, and 5. Bone scan. The correct answer to this question is 4. Ultrasound. So ultrasound is best at imaging abrupt changes in the density of adjacent tissue and therefore is best at imaging wood in the soft tissues of the foot. That's all for this review about foot puncture wounds. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.